Well, welcome to our midweek meeting on Tuesday the 19th of May 2020. Shall we bow in a word of prayer? Eternal and loving God in heaven, we thank you that we are in your presence this evening. We thank you that we have an open Bible before us. And Father, we thank you that in our homes that we can gather together to seek the face of God. And Father, as we come to you this day, we are mindful that you are the creator of the heavens and the earth. You're the creator of this vast universe. You're infinite. You're so much beyond our thoughts and our understanding. Lord, we are amazed that we can even speak to you. And Father, we're amazed that we can come into your presence through the new and living way opened up to us through your Son, the Lord Jesus. Lord, it staggers us that the very Son of God should take upon himself human flesh, should become like one of us, a little speck on the face of the universe, that he should take upon himself humanity and should live amongst us and bleed and die and take upon himself that awful weight of sin and the wrath of God against, Lord, sin. Oh, Father, we bless you and thank you that the Son of God has come and has paid for our sin and has risen from the dead. And he is at your right hand, the man Christ Jesus in the glory. And Father, we come in his name this evening. We come, O Lord, to confess our sins. Forgive us, Lord, for our sins. Lord, sins of thought and word and deed. There are so many things, Lord, that are not right about us, Lord. And we ask that you'll cleanse us. When we've been mean, when we've been uncherishable, unkind, when we haven't been good and loving to others. Oh, Father in heaven, we pray that you would forgive us. Father in heaven, we pray that you would forgive us, Lord, when we haven't loved you as we ought and when you haven't been in our thoughts. Oh, Father, help us, Lord, to seek your face. Help us to walk in the Spirit. And help us, Lord, in all the mundane activities of life to do all to your glory. Father in heaven, we pray that you give us much help in prayer as some join together in the Zoom meeting and others pray in their own homes, Lord, that you give us a spirit of prayer and that we will pray according to your will. So, Father, be with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. And bless your words to our hearts now. For his sake we pray. Amen. Well, please would you open your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning to read at verse 8. We're going to continue our series Behind Closed Doors. And this evening we're going to look at needs met behind closed doors. And we're going to look at faith rekindled behind closed doors. God meets the needs of a poor widow in Sidon, in a place called Zarephath. And he also rekindles her faith when her faith has burnt very low due to a tragedy that came to her home. So please open with me to 1 Kings chapter 17, and we're reading from verse 8 to the end of the chapter. Shall we hear God's word? Then the word of the Lord came to him, Elijah, saying, Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, Please give me a little water in a cup, that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks, that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, The bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So he went away and did according to the word of Elijah. and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke to Elijah. Now, it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick, and his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, "What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" And he said to her, "Give me your son." So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son?" And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried to the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him." Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth." Well, it's a fact that our nation is going through a hard time, and for some people it's unbearable. If you've lost a child, or if you've lost a close friend or a close relative through coronavirus, it's extremely hard to cope with. For some it's unbearable. But it's also true to say that the scale of what's happening cannot be compared to famines, where hundreds of thousands and sometimes millions die, young and old, with no palliative care, with no nurses. What we're reading about this evening is a situation of famine. Elijah, the man of God, has prophesied that for 3 years there will be famine. Why? Because Israel has grossly disobeyed the Lord and practiced terrible wickedness. And the Lord has sent a famine into the land. But the Lord will sustain his servant. He sends him first to the brook Cherith, and there he provides water for him and meat and bread. And we've read that the Lord, word of the Lord came to him and then told him to go outside of the land, to go to Sidon, a place called Zarephath. And there the Lord would use a widow to provide for his needs, not only his needs, but her needs also. And we're considering this story today because there are tremendous lessons in it for us of how God, who is rich in kindness, provides for the needs of his people. And when they fall into terrible situations, tragedies, God is still there for them. Now, much of life is mundane. Many of our days are filled up with chores. For some of you, it may be housework. It's the hoovering, it's the ironing, it's the cleaning, it's the sweeping. There are some things that we do daily. We cook, we do the washing up. For some of you, maybe it's the changing of nappies is part of your routine. We get up in the mornings as well, and we dress every day, and we maybe have a shower or a bath, and there are things that we do that sometimes we feel haven't got much value in. And in lockdown time, sometimes we can wonder what is the purpose of what we're doing. All these straightforward, normal tasks, maybe we've had an opportunity to clean the house a little more or tidy things a little more, but you think, well, what profit is in these things? Surely the bigger things in life are prayer, the bigger things in life are witnessing, the bigger things in life are doing good. But the mundane, straightforward things in life, what value are there in these? Well, remember what the Bible says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks. And the Bible says, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. In other words, in every single activity of life, whether exciting or boring, whether you enjoy it or you don't, the Lord has said that we can do this to God's glory. We can find purpose and meaning in it as we do it diligently, as we do it thankfully, as we turn our thoughts to God, even in those activities. We can find God in the midst of those activities. And this lady, this widow, had come to the point when she was going to do one last menial task. All she had was a little bit of flour left in a bin, and she had some oil, the last remnants of oil in a jar. And she had planned to make a cake, a piece of bread, bread cake, for the last time. You see, there was a famine in the land. She had no husband to provide for her. There were no supplies, there were no shops. And this was desperate. She was at the point of starvation. And yet, God has considered her. God has sent Elijah to provide for her needs and to sustain his servant. And so we're going to consider this woman and her story. Jesus will refer to her in the New Testament, and he'll say to the Jews, well, remember how it was that Gentile woman who was provided for. God's love to those who the Jews despised. So let's consider this passage before us. Well, Elijah meets this woman on the edge of the city as she's gathering sticks. And he asks her for a cup of water. She's a kind lady. She wants to go and provide the water for him. But then Elijah asks her for some bread. And so she tells her story in verse 12 of how she has hardly anything left. And she's ready just to make this little bread cake. And then she's come to the conclusion that she and her son will die. How does Elijah respond to this? Well, he calls her to trust. He says to her in verse 13 that she's not to fear, but rather she is to make that small cake. And he says to her, and give it to me first. Bring it to me. And afterwards, make some bread cake for yourself. That was a great test for her. All she had was these last few morsels that would be sufficient for her and her son. And Elijah audaciously says to her, make the cake and give it to me, and then provide for yourself. And he gives this promise. He says, you can provide for yourself, because the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. For 3 years, God will multiply the flour. For 3 years, God will multiply the oil. For 3 years, God will provide for this woman until the famine is over. And she accepts the word. She believes it. She has simple faith. She does what the prophet tells her to do. And the result is this. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word from the mouth of the prophet Elijah. That's staggering, isn't it? An amazing provision by God for Elijah and for this woman in a desperate state. Now, I have three applications for us. All that happened behind closed doors, but I have three applications for us. And the first application for us behind doors is this, is for you and I to be willing to give. She was willing to give of the little that she had to the prophet Elijah. She was willing to share what she had. That's a challenge to you and to I, who have so much more. Are we ready to trust God by giving more? Do we remember the needs of the poor? Elijah was in a desperate state also, and she thought of him, not just of herself. In Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 17, we read this: "He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given." And then we read in Proverbs 22, verse 9, "He who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor." Proverbs 28, 27, "He who gives to the poor will not lack." This time of lockdown, we've had some challenges as a church to give. Are we remembering the poor? Jesus said, "Give, and it'll be given back to you. In generous measure, it'll be poured into your lap." Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." And here's this woman. She's wanting to help the man of God. She knows that he's a man of God. She said, "As your God lives." She's putting the things of God first, and all other things are added to her. As Christians, we can take hold of the promise in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. "And my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." You might think, "Well, I have not a lot to give." But remember the woman who gave those two little mites. "Give, and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, running over in good measure, it should be put into your lap." Trust the Lord in your giving. So behind closed doors, first of all, we have a challenge to give. But then secondly, we're reminded that God meets his people in their extremities. Elijah, first of all, found himself by the brook Cherith. How did the Lord provide meat? How did the Lord provide bread for him there? The Lord used the ravens. The Lord sends him to Sidon, outside of Israel. How would he be treated by these Gentile people? Well, the Lord uses, surprisingly, a Gentile woman who was a widow. And she was in a desperate situation, and in her extremity, God provided for her. We look through the Bible and we see how God does this over and over. We think of David when he was on the run from Saul. Do you remember he and his men? The Lord had provided men around David, but they had no food. He had 400 men. They go to the priest of Nob, and all he has is the showbread on the temple, those 12 loaves in that tabernacle. And what does David ask for? He asks the priest for the bread, the consecrated bread. And God, who doesn't require sacrifice but loves mercy, enables the priest to give that bread to David, and his needs are met. David will say this in Psalm 41, verse 1. "Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble." Times you've gone through, maybe financial hardship. Times you've been in a situation of extremity where you wonder how you're going to get out of the situation. Well, I want to remind you of this poor woman and Elijah in times of famine. I want to remind you of David. I want to remind you of the Apostle Paul. And so we could go on, how God meets the needs of his children. But then thirdly, I want to say this: all of our needs, all of our real needs, are met in Jesus alone. You see, John the Baptist was the second Elijah. And when he preached repentance, but he pointed people to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who believes in me shall never hunger." You see, in Jesus Christ, all our spiritual needs are met. He alone can satisfy us. The bread never runs out with him. You see, as we see this woman being provided for daily, daily, daily provision, surely we're pointed to Jesus Christ, the bread of life. And we read in the scriptures in John chapter 1, verse 16, that of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Oh, that you and I, behind closed doors, wouldn't just see the mundane task that we're doing as just something boring that we need to do, but we would find God in these tasks, and that we would do all giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that we would experience him in our lives behind closed doors. Of his superabundant fullness, we receive grace upon grace, kindness, love, mercy. And then, having considered how this woman's needs were met, now I want us to look at the second part of what we read, verses 17 to the end of the chapter, where we see, first of all, faith dashed, and then faith rekindled. And that's what I want to concentrate upon, faith rekindled. Now, sometimes in life, faith takes a knock, doesn't it? And sometimes it's a big knock. We all react to different situations in different ways. For some, a tragedy strikes their family, and the person stops going to church for 6 months and doubts God. For another person, an accident happens or an illness happens. And by God's grace, the person continues to trust the Lord and walks with him and continues to be able to be amongst God's people. We react in different ways. And what happened to this woman? She'd experienced the benevolence of God over these 3 years. But after that time, her son takes ill. And it's a serious illness. We read that he's so ill that there is no breath left in him. We can't help think of the coronavirus patients, can we? So little breath left in them. Now this boy finally gasps his last breath. And the woman's distraught. It's her only son. She's lost her husband and now she's lost her son. And what does she do? Well, she blames Elijah. And her sin from a past life comes to her remembrance. And she feels that God is punishing her. And she says in verse 18, "What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" The Lord understands what she's going through. The Lord is going to remedy this situation for her. She hasn't got a strong faith like Job. Job could say, "The Lord has given, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." But this woman can't say that. And it's hard for Elijah to receive the blame. It's as if she's saying, "Because you've been in my house and all this time, and it's because of your presence that this has happened. You've killed my son," she says. What does Elijah do? He says, "Give me your son." He takes the son and he takes him up into the upper room where he's been staying. In one sense, it's a consecrated place for Elijah. It's the place of prayer, the place where he studied God's word, where he sought the face of God. And there he lays out his son on his bed. Sorry, the boy on his bed. And he lies down on him 3 times. And he prays. He cries out to God that God would restore the boy's life. And remarkably, we read this. The soul of the child came back to him and he revived. And so what does he do? He takes the boy down and he presents him to his mother and says this, "See, your son lives." And she says, "Now by this I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth." And her faith is rekindled. Now I have 2 applications for you and for I. The first application is this. When we go through crises in life and we begin to doubt and our faith takes a huge knock and sometimes we blame others for the situation, when we're so overwhelmed, remember this, that God is a gracious God. He's a kind God. He understands what we are going through. And he's able to put his arms around us and to strengthen us in such situations. But secondly, the second thing I want to say to you is this. I believe again that this passage points us to Jesus Christ. You see, as we consider Elijah in that upper room, alone with that child, lying upon him three times, and the soul reviving of that child, I cannot help but think of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. There in that room, behind closed doors, having banished all the people, in Jairus' household with a little girl. And what Jesus does is so masterly. There's no need for him to lie three times upon a child. No, he only needs to speak the word, Talitha kumi, little girl, arise. And then he just takes her hand and she wakes up. He shows that he's Lord and he's master. Elijah has to cry to God, prostrate before God. He's desperate, but the Lord Jesus knows. He has the keys of death and of Hades. Do you remember him at Lazarus' grave? Come forth, he says. You see, Jesus is the Son of God. And at his word, at his command, death is brought to life. Life comes from death. Jesus himself would lay down his life and take it again and conquer the grave. Whenever we look at death and resurrection in the Old or the New Testament, we must consider the one who, and the only one who has conquered death itself, and the only one who had power over death, the very Son of God, who said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? See, one day behind closed doors, for the last time, we'll be upon our deathbed. And we'll never see the doors open again. Not the physical doors of life into human existence. But will we see the doors of heaven open to us? Have we trusted in Jesus Christ that he is the resurrection and the life? And he says that we will never die, those who believe in him, but shall live forever with him. Brothers and sisters, last Sunday we were contemplating Sunday morning heaven. Oh, that we would think more upon our eternal destiny, and oh, that we would hope in him. This woman's faith was rekindled. And may your faith be strengthened as you look to Jesus Christ and consider the hope that is laid up for you in heaven, an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. So I end my message by reminding you this, that God will meet all of your needs according to his glory in Christ Jesus, just as he met the needs of this poor widow lady. And God will one day take you to be with him in glory because you trust in his Son, Jesus Christ. So at this time of lockdown, behind closed doors, with all the mundane activities that we do, let us do all to the glory of God, giving thanks. Amen.